Tuesday the 2nd of March, Tess Zion Adar, Rabbi Jonathan Dove, from bondage of the mind to freedom of the spirit.
Good morning. I'd like to dedicate my words to Le'ir Nishmas Avi Moiri Zev Ben Nochum Shimon, whose yahrzeit it was on Parsha Zachor. Amongst the children, we decided that our father didn't want to have us make a tainis specifically for a yahrzeit, so it either falls on tainis Esther, which is a yahrzeit anyway, or it falls on Shabbos, where you can't you can't fast. But I'd like to dedicate these words to Le'ir Nishmas. The title is From Bondage of the Mind to Freedom of the Spirit. Rav Dessler traces the etymology of the words, the root of the word Mitzrayim, to the word Meitzar. Meitzar means a constriction, it means boundaries, it means narrow straits. It's a place of narrowness. And Yetzias Mitzrayim could be understood not only as a geopolitical entity which we know as Egypt, but also as a place of narrowness, something that prevents us from fulfilling our koiches in Avodas Hashem. One of the aspects which I encounter in my work as a psychotherapist all too frequently, which does constrain and constrict people in the way that they go about fulfilling their Avodas Hashem, is the area of self-esteem, which I'd like to touch on. And in fact, some years ago, when Rabbi Twersky spoke for Jewish students here in London, when I was still working as a campus rabbi, he diagnosed this generation, to some extent, as suffering from chronic, severe self-underestimation. Chronic meaning long-term, severe meaning intense, and self-underestimation, that in many ways we underestimate the koichos that we've been given by the Rabbeinu Shalom. To the extent that we underestimate those koichos, to that extent we won't be able to fulfill our potential. Now, interestingly, it would seem, or could be understood, that a number of the greatest of the great of our people, the greatest of the great of our people, have in some way or another underestimated their koichos. If we start off with the greatest of the great, Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Lo yuchal anochi levadi lases es kol ha'am hazeh ki kaved mimeni. I alone cannot carry this entire nation, for it is too heavy for me. So the Rabbeinu Shel Olam subdivides, so to speak, his kochos amongst the 70 elders and says as follows. V'yaradati v'dibarti imcha Hashem v'atzalti min haruach asher alecha v'samti aleihem, that I'll give some of your spirit, take away some of your spirit and put it onto them, v'nasu itcha b'masa ha'am v'lo tisa ata levadecha, that he will subdivide the spirit, he'll take some of the spirit away from Moshe Rabbeinu and place it upon the 70 elders, and they shall bear the burden of the people with you, and you shall not burn it, bear it alone. Now the Ramban cites a remarkable midrash. The midrash says as follows. Ulefichach omru b'midrash b'midbar Sinai Rabba. In the midrash in b'midbar Sinai Rabba says as follows. Moshe l'melech. This could be understood as a king who entrusted his orchard to a guard and paid him in advance the full wages for guarding it. The guard says, I'm not able to guard all of it by myself. Have od acherim, shishmurimi. bring others that they should guard it with me. Amar Loi HaMelech, Nasati Lecha Pardes Sheli LeShomrei. I've given you the Pardes for you to guard. V'chol Tzcha Shmirasa Nasati Lecha. And all of the wages, all of the schar of its guarding, I've given to you. V'achshav Ata Omer, and now you're saying, Haveli Od Acherim Sheyishmeru Imi, bring others that they should guard it with me. Hareni Mevi Od Acherim, I'll bring others, Sheyishmeru Imcha, that will guard with you. V'heve Yodeh She'en Ani Noisin Lahem Schar Shmila Mishali, that I'm not going to give them the schar from me. Ela mitoch schar shenasati lecha, rather from the wages that I'm giving you, misham hem notlim scharam, they'll take their schar from what I've given you. So I'm giving you all the schar, so the king says, I'm giving you all the schar to guard my orchard, but you're saying you can't do it on your own. I'll bring other gods, but just know full well that the schar is going to come from you, not from me. They're going to subdivide your schar. Kacha amol haKodesh Baruch Hu leMoshe. So haKodesh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, Ani nasati lecha ruach v'das lefades lefanes es b'nei es bona. I've given you spirit and knowledge to sustain my children. V'lo yisi mevakesh achir. And I don't want another person. K'dei sheyis yachet ato be'oise gedula. I want that gedula to be miyachet for you, to be unique to you. V'achshav ata mevakesh acher, and you're now saying you can't do it on your own, you need somebody else. Teda, you should know, shemishali einam notlim klum, they're not going to take anything further from me. Ela v'itzalti min haruach asher alecha, I'm going to take away from the spirit that's been given to you, Moshe Rabbeinu. So the mashal applies similarly over here, but it ends off, says the Ramban, with an astonishing, astonishing comment. V'afal pichein, nevertheless, even after this was done, lo chasa Moshe klum. Moshe Rabbeinu did not lack anything in his original ruach. Right? So here you have a situation. I heard this as an idea from Rabbi Akiva Tatz, as an understanding in Musa that one can take away from this, that Moshe Rabbeinu says, I can't do this alone. Leading the people is too great for me. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu subdivides the ruach that he gave to Moshe Rabbeinu amongst the 70 elders. And even though he subdivided the koyach of Moshe Rabbeinu amongst 70 elders, Moshe Rabbeinu's koyach was so great, V'afal pichen lo chasor Moshe klum. Even though it had been taken away from Moshe Rabbeinu, he was not missing or lacking anything at all. So his koach was actually, in effect, so great that besides his own ruach, and that was subdivided amongst the 70 elders, his koach of ruach, his koach at sanefesh, still remained the same, even though it had been subdivided. So that's a remarkable understanding of Moshe Rabbeinu's quotas, in which he says, I can't do this alone. And yet he has the quotas not only for himself, but actually to share ruach with 70 others without it diminishing his quach at all. That's how great his quotas were. Another example that we see in the same parshin, the first was in Barloska, the next is in Parshas Shlach, where we see the Meraglim were sent out to spy out the land, and they bring back a report which is very puzzling. One aspect of it. Many aspects of it, but I'm going to pick on one particular one. So it says, V'sham ra'inu es ha'nefilim, we saw these giant people, b'nei anak, min ha'nefilim, u'nehi b'eneinu kechagovim, and we were like grasshoppers in our eyes, v'chein ha'inu b'eneihem, and so too we were in their eyes. So Rabbi Tversky asked, what's the relevance of the first comment? Right? The spies are meant to go out, they're meant to make an objective assessment of what exactly is taking place in Eretz Yisrael. So they see these giant people. It could be that they were seen as if they were grasshoppers in the eyes of the giants. But what relevance does it have? That we were like grasshoppers in our eyes. And so too we were in their eyes. And once again he points out that the Meraglim were looking upon themselves as grasshoppers. Well, if a person sees themselves in a diminished sense, if they're underestimating their own capacities, that instead of being mentioned they're grasshoppers, then of course they're going to understand that these giants, and so too other people will perceive me in a similar way. And Rashi actually says that they were walking around in the vineyards, right? And they, so to speak, heard these people mentioning that they saw these little individuals walking around, and the giants were saying, "Namonim yesh bekramim." There are ants in the vineyard, right? So the pasuk actually says "Hagovim," and Rashi says it was ants. So he said that if perhaps we can learn out from there that if there is an issue with self-esteem, then if it goes unchecked, then it continues diminishing. Right? The pasuk says grasshoppers, and already by the time Rashi is being flourished, it seems as if they heard the giant saying, the malim yesh bekranim, they're ants, an even smaller animal. So there too, somebody, they've been sent, the greatest of the people, to spy out the land, but they view themselves in some ways as grasshoppers relative to the great giants that were found there at the time. And if it was just relative to the giants that were there, one could understand it. But what relevance does it have to say, and we were like grasshoppers in our eyes, and so too we were in the eyes of them. Right? If a person views themselves in a diminished status, then of course he's going to perceive, or she will perceive, that others will view them similarly. And just last Shabbos, this past Shabbos, we read the famous Haftarah of Parshas Zachor, where the first Melech Yisrael, Mashiach Hashem, Shaul HaMelech, was commanded to annihilate the Amalekites, as well as all the Tzon HaBakar, the entire livestock. And it's pointed out that he says to Shmuel HaNavi, when Shmuel HaNavi arrives, Vayavoy Shmuel el Shaul, Vayomer lo Shaul, and Shaul says to him, Baruch atah LaHashem, Hakimoisis Dvar Hashem, blessed are you to Hashem, I fulfill the word of Hashem. Vayomer Shmuel, Omer kol atzoin hazeh v'oznai, v'kol habokeh asher anochi shomer. So what's all the noise of the flock and the cattle that are here, because they were meant to have been destroyed as well. We brought them from the Amalekites. Asher chomal ha'am. Keywords. Asher chomal ha'am. The people took pity. Al meta v'atzoim v'abachar l'man zvoach l'ashem elokecha v'esayose hechiramnu. And the rest we destroyed. The choice of the cattle, the choice of the flocks we left over, in order to sacrifice to Hashem, very noble, but that's not what Hashem wanted. He wanted them destroyed. Vayomer Shmuel el Shaul, Heref, listen, Vagidu lecha es asher diber Hashem elai halayla, listen to what Hashem told me last night, Vayomer lo daber. And Shaul, still king, grants him permission, speak. Now at this stage, my expectation would be that there was some there was some element of Shaul HaMelech being Moreg B'Malchus Klape Shmaya. You know, the Rebbeinu Shalom says destroy, and he doesn't fully destroy. One would imagine it would come from a point of arrogance in some ways, that because he thinks that he's in some way has a greater understanding than what the Rebbeinu Shalom is commanding, that was the source of why he didn't fulfill the Divine Hashem. But that's not what Shmuel HaNavi heard in the voice of prophecy. What does he say? Shmuel says, Vayom Shmuel, Shmuel, Halo im kato en atoba enecha. Though you are small in your own eyes, Rosh Shifte Israel ato. Remember that you're the head of the tribes of Israel. Im shachacha Hashem lemelech al Israel. Though you are small in your own eyes, remember that you are the head of the tribes of Israel, and Hashem has anointed you king. So not only has he been anointed king by the Rabbeinu Shalom, but he's been appointed as the head of the tribes of Israel by Klal Yisrael themselves. So when it came to V'chomol Ha'am, the people took pity. Shaul HaMelech should have stood up to the people and said, take pity all you want, but this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, destroy the lot. And the criticism, instead of one that one perhaps might imagine, of arrogance in not fulfilling the word of Hashem, the actual criticism that's given to Shmuel HaNavi or Pinavua from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, Halo im katoin ata be'enecha, though you're small in your own eyes. And being small in one's own eyes over here was, it's all very well as an individual, but you have a role to perform. And that role was not performed as a result of your thinking too little of yourself, that you didn't stand up to the people when they wanted to take pity on the flocks and the sheep. So what really is expected of us? Well, the Shulchan Aruch starts off in Or HaChaim, Aleph. It says, Yisgaber ka'ari la'amod ba'boker la'avodas boroi. A person has to get up like an ari, like a lion. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch cites the famous Mishnah in Pirkei Avos of Yehuda ben Tamar. Right? Yehuda ben Tamar Omer, Have az kanamer, be as bold as a leopard, v'kal kanesher, light as an eagle, ratz katzvi, swift as a deer, v'gibor ka'ari la'asos ratzon avicha sheva shamayim, and as strong as a lion to do the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to do the will of Hashem, your Father in heaven. So I heard many years ago from Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg that over here, these citations mentioning Rabbi Yehuda ben Tamar, right, and saying, be as light as an eagle, fast as a deer, bold as a leopard, strong as a lion, is cited in the Kisur Shulchan Aruch, which isn't a sefer on Hashkofa, it's a sefer on Halacha. So, if it's cited over there, there must be something very specific that we can actually learn from that. And in Shulchan Aruch, it says, Yisgaber ka'ari la'amod ba'boker la'avod asbara. Get up like a lion. Why like a lion? I mean, is it just a martial, you know, a metaphor? A lion's strong, therefore you should be strong to get up. Right? Once again, it's not machshava, it's halacha. Get up like a lion. So he said that although there are many ideas that can be learned out from this, but there's one aspect which one has to look at it simply a peep shot. That somewhere within a person there are the koichas ha-nefesh, which if we were to fulfill those koichas ha-nefesh, we would literally be able to be ratz katzvi, gibok az kanamer, ratz katzvi, gibok ka'ari. We would have all of those capacities within us. That it's not just a metaphor to say that these are strong and therefore you try and be strong. But actually you could have the strength of a lion under certain conditions. And you could be Kal Kanesher under other conditions. You could be as light as an eagle. I'll just cite two ideas, events that have taken place, which I read in a book dealing with human potential. The one was where a woman had reversed her car over onto her daughter, a I think it was a daughter, a young child. And she heard the screech, got out, had a look, tried to move the car, but she was so shocked by what had just occurred, the car stalled and she couldn't move it. And she went and stood by the wheel arch of the car and lifted up the car, that her child was able to call out, or somebody standing by was able to lift it up. Under normal conditions, that would have been an impossibility, seemingly. But under what fight or flight conditions, where the koichos haguf are absolutely maximized, she really had the strength of a lion to be able to lift up a car on the one side to enable the child to get out. So the gibor ka'ari is somewhere even within that person who, if you would have asked them the day before, could you lift up that one side of the car by the wheel arch? She probably would have laughed herself at the possibility. But in fact, when, under emergency conditions, it happened, she was able to do so. A second story, perhaps of Kal Kanesher, was a group of researchers from the University of Sheffield who went to Mother Africa to do some research in the bush. And when they were walking back to their camp, one of the researchers lagged behind. He fell behind the group. And the sun was setting, it was dusk already, the rest of the group walked ahead, and he lagged behind. And he was surrounded by a pack of wild dogs, which aren't dogs that are wild, they look like little jackals. And they attack in packs. They're very, very efficient hunters. Very efficient hunters. They can bring down animals far, far larger than themselves. Giraffe, zebra, they're not very much bigger than a jackal or a medium-sized dog. But what they do is they come in packs and they surround the animal and they attack from one side, so the animal whirls round and that one goes back, and they attack from the other side and the animal whirls round, and eventually they get so tired. The big animal gets so tired that they just leap on him, and that's the end of that particular animal. So they're enormously efficient hunters despite their small size. So he was surrounded, almost surrounded by this, and he saw what was happening, and he ran and he jumped into a tree that was relatively nearby and spent most of the night there until they moved away. This pack of wild dogs in the African bush. When he eventually got down and rejoined his camp, they asked him what had happened. So he brought them back to show them what had occurred. And when he showed them the tree that he'd spent some time in the night before, he showed them the limb on which he'd rested, the tree, the branch. So they said, well, how did you get up there? So he said, no, he jumped. So he said, well, show us again. Don't jump. And no matter how hard he tried, he could not come within 18 inches of that branch. No matter how long a run-up or how hard he jumped and sprung, leaped into the air, he couldn't come within 18 inches of that branch that the night before he'd leapt onto with great alacrity, very, very easily, and he'd spent the night there. So even Kal Kanesher, not exactly flying, but literally leaping through the air in a way that under normal circumstances he simply would not have been capable of doing. So these koichos exist within us. These koichos exist within us. Most of the time, for most of us, the only time those will ever come out, hopefully, in some ways, hopefully it won't happen, is under extraordinary emergency situation. When somebody is being chased by a wild dog, or when somebody is, something emergency-wise is taking place. But what's being required of us, actually, when it says, Az Kanamir, Kal Kanesher, Ratz Katsvi, Gibor Ka'ari, is that we should use those koichos that we have clearly within us and harness them and bring them out in our Avodas Hashem. And lest we think that in certain instances it's an impossibility, somewhere inside of you, you have those abilities. And if you reach deep inside, then it is possible to fulfill, literally, in many instances, those capacities. We've heard of extraordinary acts of heroism of our people of Klal Yisrael throughout the ages. We want questions, how did they ever do that? How did they ever manage? How did they ever go so long without food? How did they ever manage to do the kind of things that they did in the time of their Melchoma, in the time of all sorts of other challenging circumstances in which Klal Yisrael have found themselves? But they've literally drawn on those koches that Rasha and placed within us. So Yisgabe Ka'ari La'amoyed Baborkir La'avodas Boiro means that in certain instances you'll have to reach deep inside and actually tap into that koches that are as strong as a lion to get up in order to do Avodas Hashem. I saw an idea in a book called Lifelines by Avi Shulman, which is unfortunately out of print, but it had an introduction by Rav Meir Zlotovitz, and he goes all the way back when Cain killed Hevel, so the earth, so to speak, swallowed up the blood, and the earth is cursed. And the curse is a very interesting one. Normally, a curse is understood that something good will turn into something bad. Or a curse could be understood that something bad, Chas v'Shalom, would happen. That would be a curse. But over here we see in the Pasuk, Ki sava des adama, when you will work the earth, lo soisef teis koicha, the earth will not give of its strength. And Rav Zlotovitz points out that here we have a new perspective on what a curse is. A curse isn't something good that turns into something bad, or not something bad that emerges of itself. But Chas v'Shalom, a curse could be lo seisef teis koicha, is when the earth has koiches, it has potential, it has the yecholes, it has the ability to bring forth in a plentiful way, but it doesn't give up those koiches. It doesn't fulfill its potential. And this book, which Avi Shulman, which is all about fulfilling potential, in this introduction, he gives this very interesting insight into what could also be understood. That when there's koiches, when there are abilities, when there's, we have the capacity, but we don't fulfill it, that in and of itself is a negative thing. So we're in the point of transition between Purim, whereas where we read on Parsha Zachor just before Purim, the idea of Shol HaMelech, Halo in Kotoi Nato Be'enech, if you're small in your own eyes, that he didn't fulfill his role as a king because he thought too little of himself. And perhaps it could be understood now as we're heading towards Pesach, Abba Aleinu Latova, that the conceptual idea of Mitzrayim being Meitzarim, being places of constriction or confines, narrow straits, that perhaps it's also time to look within ourselves and to see where we might be constrained, where we might be constricted in our Avodas Hashem. That to some extent we might be underestimating the capacities and the talents and the abilities that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us. And to try and make a Yetzias Mitzrayim, to try and make an exodus from that place of constraint, from those narrow straits. And in doing so, to fulfill the true koiches that each one of us has been given and use those capacities to the best of our ability in our Avodas Hashem.